Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Vayishlach. We have six Divrei Torah directly on a Parsha and one more conceptual Dvar Torah about the relationship between Yaakov and Esav and how that relationship, negative relationship, continues until today. On a high level, an overview of the Parsha. Esav at the beginning of the Parsha is advancing to attack Yaakov with 400 troops, well-trained troops, well-armed troops, and Yaakov prepares in three ways. Milchama, for war, dividing up the camp in two. In case one is attacked, the other will survive. Next is Doron, sending a matana, sending gifts, effectively bribes to Esav to soften him up. And also, number three, tefillah, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before the encounter between Yaakov and Esav, we have the famous struggle between Yaakov and the Sarshal Esav, that is the Satan, Samael, the struggle overnight between the two. Baruch Hashem, Yaakov is victorious, although he does wind up with a limp. And we have the Isra of eating the Gita Nasha, and he is renamed by the Samael, by the Satan, Yisrael, because you were successful in overcoming me. The encounter between Yaakov and Esav comes thereafterward. Baruch Hashem, we have reconciliation between the two. Esav softens up, and then they depart one another. And Yaakov arrives in Eretz Yisrael, and he arrives, the first city is Shechem, not the greatest of places. And that leads to the abduction of Dinah. Shimon and Levi, they attack the city after a subterfuge, convincing all the men to have a bris milah. When they are the weakest, Shimon and Levi decimate the city. They reacquire Dinah, and there is so much more that goes on in this Parsha. We are going to start towards the beginning of the Parsha with Yaakov Avinu's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was one of his three ways that he prepared for the encounter with Esav. So when it comes to prayer as part of the davening, we are in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yaakov Avinu says as follows, Katonti mikol ha-chasidim mikol ha-emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have done so many ches chasadim to me. You have been unbelievable, giving me so much. Look, I'm back now. When I left Eretz Yisrael, I had nothing to my name. And now I have wives and children and assets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have been diminished. Do I have any schuyas? Do I have any merits left from you? Asher sis esavdecha. Now, Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Sota, and we're going to start somewhere else right now, that Talmud Chacham tzarech shehebo echad mishmona b'shebishmini shebegaiva. Obviously, gaiva, arrogance, is a terrible midah. Having said that, the Talmud Chacham does need a small amount of gaiva. This is the plushness of what the Gemara is saying. Shmona shebishmini, literally eighth of an eighth, or eighth of the eighth, something like that, which would come out to be a 64. So a tiny scintilla would be a positive thing for a Talmud Chacham. We're talking about somebody who is worthy to have that as a reason to be a gaiva. Don't be a galbal gaiva. This is a terrible mida, but a little bit. Now, the question is, what's going on here? What's this concept of eight and of an eighth? Shmone shebishminis, and what is the message here? So the Vilna Gaon has an absolutely brilliant insight as what is going on with this Gemara, that a Talmud Chacham should have one of an eighth of an eighth, an eighth of an eighth of gaiva. And he says as follows, if we look in Sefer Bereishis, the eighth Parsha is our Parsha. That's Parsha's Vayishlach. And if you look at the Psukim, the eighth Pasuk is this Pasuk that we're talking about. Mi kantonti mikol ha-chasadim u-mikol ha-emes. That is what it means. The eighth of an eighth. A Talmud Chacham should have an eighth of an eighth. That is referring to the eighth Parsha, the eighth Pasuk of the eighth Parsha. Eight of the eighth. The eighth Pasuk of the eighth Parsha. And what is this telling us? What's the remez here? What's the hint here? It's coming to teach us that a Talmud Chacham should learn from this Pasuk that even when he has tremendous success, and even if he has reasons to be a Baal Gaiva, he has a reason to show what he has accomplished and the gifts that he has. So he has something going for him, like Yaakov Avinu, that he says, Vata Yisa Lishnei Machanot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much. Now I even have two camps, I have wealth, etc. But he always has to remember that it's from a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayedei Kach Yavo Lidei Katondi. If you remember it's a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will have the same Ashkaf, even though you may have a reason to be have a little bit Gaiva, you will always always remember it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Katonti, I am diminished that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me so much. And in fact, that's what it's telling us. Talmud Chacham should have one-eighth, an eighth when it comes to Gaiva. It's not talking about have a little bit Gaiva. It's saying you have something to have Gaiva over, just refer to the eighth of the eighth. The eighth Pasuk of the eighth Parsha in Bereishis, and you'll see Katonti. You think you have a reason to be a Baal Gaiva? Always remember, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that you should think I am diminished because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me so much good. It's a very different philosophy than having an eighth of an eighth of a gaiva. It's remember where everything came from so you won't be a Baal Gaiva. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. Yaakov Avinu continuing in his prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in advance of his meeting, his dreaded meeting with his brother. Hatzileini na miyad achim miyad Esav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me from my brother, from Esav. Sometimes he acts as my brother, sometimes he acts as Esav, and even when he acts as my brother, that is not a positive thing. He's just smiling, but it could have a very negative impact as well. We see that with Klal Yisrael, that the society around us can be hostile, as it is turning now, and when it's not hostile and embrace us, it could be the kiss of death as well because of assimilation that really ensues. Continuing in that pasuk, ki arei Anochi Oso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save you from Esav, because indeed I fear him. And we're going to focus on these words, Ki Arei Anochi Oso. What's the real fear that Yaakov Avinu had? Now, it could be that, obviously, the Pashtus is that he's scared of being killed. Esav is approaching with 400 well-trained troops, and Yaakov is going to be outgunned for sure. But there's an interesting commentary by the Botzina Dinahora. It takes a very different approach. What's his fear? Ki arei, I am scared, and we put a colon there. What is he scared for? What is he scared of? A sin that he thinks I may have done. Anochi oso. I am scared because I, anochi me, I pretended to be oso, pretended to be him. I am scared. I pretended to be Esav when he went in and took the bracha from his father Yitzchak, he pretended to be him. In fact, the language that he told his father was the same as here. Anochi, oso, anochi, Esav bechorecha. You'd use the same word, anochi, I am Esav, your bechor. So we have Yaakov of saying right now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm scared, ki arei, anochi, oso, I'm scared that I said, I pretended, anochi, I am him, when I said to my father, anochi, Esav bechorecha, and I'm concerned that was a chet, that was a sin, and that will really be to my discredit when I need all the merits I can get when I'm about to confront Esav in what may be a very hostile encounter. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We have the encounter, the fight, the quarrel, the physical fight between Yaakov and the angel, the Tsar of Esav, referred to with the name of Samael, that is the Satan. And at the end of the fight, we have Yaakov receiving the name from Samael. You're now going to be called not Yaakov, but Yisrael. And then we have Yaakov Avinu, after Samael asks Yaakov, what's your name? Yaakov, you're going to be called Yisrael. Yaakov asks him the same, what's your name? And the response by Samael, the angel of Esav, is cryptic. He says in Perek Lama Beis, Pasuk Lamed, this is our Dvar Torah number 3, Perek Lama Beis, Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Lama Zetishalishmi. So the Samael says to Esav here, why are you asking my name? He doesn't answer what it is. And we had before it, I think we had it in the past years, about here, we're not going to go into detail on it, but a very beautiful word, why are you asking my name? And the response is, because however you think I am, I'm going to attack you in a different way. So if you think my name is X, I'm going to act to you Y. If you think my name is A, I'm going to attack you with B. I'm always going to attack you in different ways that you're not prepared for. That's what Samael is saying to Yaakov. That's one explanation. We're going to have a cute explanation based on a gematria, not a major lesson from it, but an interesting thing that he's saying as follows, why are you asking my name? So if we look at the gematrias of the name Yaakov. And first we'll start with Yaakov. Yaakov is 182. 182 is the gematria of Yaakov, and the gematria of Satan is 359. When you combine the 182 of Yaakov and then 359 of Satan, together when they are added, they are equal to 541, which is the gematria of Yisrael, which is the gematria of Yisrael. So what do we have now? We have Yaakov, who was victorious over the Satan. That's why he gets the Satan's gematria as well. Add them together. Now he has his new name, Yisrael. So what the Satan is saying is, why are you asking my name? Because you already know my name. How do you already know my name? Now that you have Yisrael, you can do the math yourself. The difference between your original name, Yaakov, and your new name, Yisrael. Your original Yaakov, 182, and your Yisrael, 541. The difference between that is 359, which is the gematria of Satan. So you already know my name. We are moving forward to vort number 3. This is a very famous vort, but it's always good to hear it again. We have a discussion between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov says, take the gifts. Esav says, no, I don't need it. V'yomer Esav, yesh li rav, I have so much stuff already. And the contrast is between the approach, the philosophy of Esav, who says, yesh li rav, I have a lot, which the implication is, but there's plenty I don't have as well. I got a lot of stuff, but when you say that, you're not saying I have everything I need. You're saying there's a lot out there I don't have. On the other hand, in contrast, Yaakov says, v'chi yesh li kol, I have everything. Obviously, he doesn't own everything in the world, but this is the approach of Yaakov. Sameach b'chelko, I'm happy with what I have. Ezehu ashir ha-sameach b'chelko, somebody who has that approach, I have everything I need. He is Yeshli Kol. Esav, on the other hand, if you have the Yeshli Rav, I have a lot. That's the type of person that Chazal tell us, when you have 100, you want 200. When you have 1, you want 2. When you have 2, you want 4. You always want more. That is somebody who is not Sameach B'chalko. And obviously, the healthy approaches of Yaakov Avinu, Esav, Ashir, HaSameach B'chalko, who is the wealthy person who is happy with what he has. Chafetz Chaim has a very nice vort explanation in Ashrei that we say. We say it in 2 times in Shacharis, and the Psuke de Zimra, we say it at the end of Shacharis, before Uval Etzion, and we also say it before Mincha. So 3 times a day we say Ashrei, and as part of the Ashrei, there's a pasuk, Ritzon Yerayav Yaseh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the desire of those who fear him. And the Chafetz Chaim says, truth be told, somebody who is a true Yirei Shamayim, a true person who really fears God, he is never asking for more than he already has. He is Sameach B'chelko. He has what he wants. He lives within his means. And that's why Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh, he does the desires of his Yireyav, because his true Yirei Shamayim is somebody who is happy with what he has. He's not asking for anymore. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5. We have Esav depart from Yaakov, and Yaakov continue on his travels, not in the direction of Esav. We want to avoid further encounters with Esav, make sure he doesn't change his mind. We departed on a good note, and now Yaakov winds up in the Shechem, not the greatest of places. And he encamped before the city, looking at the city, Ve'echon Espenei Ayir. We're doing now Dvar Torah number 5, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. And there is a very, very cryptic medrash in the Medrash Rabbah, and we're going to give an explanation of it. So it says as follows, Ba'im Dim Dume Cham, came at this time of sunset. The rays of the sun were going, it's dusk, it's twilight. V'kava Lahen Tchumim, and he set up the boundaries for the city. What does that mean? That he came at the time of sunset, the time of twilight, and he set boundaries. Doesn't seem to make any sense. What is going on here? So the Avnei Ozel gives an interesting explanation. And he says, what is the time of deep dume chama, time of twilight, time of sunset? That is the time when things are not clear. Things are very unclear, in fact, and we have confusion. Is it day? Is it night? Is it dark? Is it light? It's very confusing at that time. And the same thing is when it comes to the deos of people. There's a lot of complexity and confusion. What is right? What is wrong? And we need a person of like Yaakov Avinu that has the kolchos of being perceptive and understanding in order to be koveya tchumim, to set the boundaries, in order to distinguish what is right, what is wrong, to tell us what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Because when there is murkiness, for example, in laws, murkiness in ethics, murkiness in the halacha as to what is appropriate and not appropriate, that is when we need to defer to somebody who has clarity of thought and tells us what is the tchum, what can be done and what cannot be done. So when things are incomprehensible, unclear, complex, complicated, that is when we need to defer to somebody like a Yaakov Avinu. And that's what's going on here. Ba'im dimdume chami came at the time of twilight where things are not clear. V'kavel en tchumim, and he said, I need to set down, establish what's the rule and what's appropriate. And in fact, continues the Avnei Ozel, even more so, certainly in a place of Eretz Yisrael, it requires an even higher level of clarity and distinction in order to distinguish what's appropriate and not, in order to not bring down the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. If we start mixing in the profane to the holy, that is a terrible thing. Other lands, okay. There, if that happens elsewhere, but in Eretz Yisrael, we need to keep the pristine holiness of Eretz Yisrael. We don't want that Kedusha to be watered down by the profane. So that's why when he comes, Yaakov Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael, first city, Shechem, a very unclear city when it comes to what's appropriate. Not, it was very clear to them things were, they were doing a lot of inappropriate. That's specifically now that we need a Yaakov Avinu to say, look at all these fakas. This is the time of sunset, a time of twilight. I need to clarify things, what's appropriate, especially in Eretz Yisrael. We are now moving to the end of the Parsha, and we have the Toldos of Esav. This is Dvar Torah number 6, the Toldos of Esav, the descendants of Esav. And it initially talks about who did Esav marry. So we're in Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Gimel, and it says that Esav married Basmas, Bas Yishmael. He married the daughter, Basmas, the daughter of Yishmael. Now Rashi points out that this lady, the daughter of Yishmael, Basmas, who is now married to Esav, in fact, she has another name. Elsewhere, she is called Machalas, from the word mochel, forgiveness. So Rashi continues, he says there are actually three categories of people that have forgiveness of their sins, and one of them when is Hanosa Isha, when somebody gets married, that is when there is a forgiveness of sin at the chuppah. You come with a blank slate when marrying a woman, and accordingly, that's why she was called Machlas. Also, her real name is Basmas, but she was called Machlas elsewhere to teach us this lesson. Mochel, that when somebody gets married, that is when there is a mechila of forgiveness of their sin. So the Gaon Mikazmir asks the following question. So why are you teaching that to specifically by Esav? Esav got married, he got married to Basmas Bas Yishmael, and right now we're going to learn that lesson that when somebody gets married, indeed, there is a mechila, there's a forgiveness of the sins, and that's why she's also called Machlas. Why are we learning that here from Esav? And the reason, says the Gaon Mikazmir, is Kedesha Satan. In order for the Satan, who is the Tsar of Esav, that is who Esav is, won't prosecute against any chassan. It could very well be that when we have a marriage, that's at a time of ayin hara, that's a time of danger, everyone is looking, the chas and the kalah, they're getting married, we can have the satan come in, the tsar of Esav, and start making claims against this chasan. We're not going to forgive his sins, he's a terrible person, he has so many sins, we shouldn't give him a mechila. Accordingly, Amra Zostar, the Torah tells, by Esav, we're going to teach it by Esav specifically. Esav, you have to know that this is the source for Mechila, Machlas. You married Machlas and you had a full forgiveness of your sins. And if we're going to give a full forgiveness of sins for Esav, certainly we're going to give a full forgiveness of sins for any chassan that gets married to his kala. And we're going to tell to the Sar Salesha, if you're trying to be Makatra, you're trying to prosecute against this chassan, if we even gave a Mechila when Esav, You're the Tsar of Esav, and you're trying to be Mekatre, you're trying to prosecute against this chassan. If Esav had a Mechila, as we learn from the word Machlas, as he married Basmas, also called Machlas, we were Mochelim, certainly we are going to be Mochel this chassan as well. And now we're moving forward to Dvar Torah number 7. This is a more general concept about Esav and Yisrael. So there Rashi brings, in one of the psukim in this parsha, it says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, halacha hi biyadua she'esav sone liyakov. It is known. This is a quote by Rabbi Shimon, halacha. It's a weird statement. It is a halacha. It is a statute. It is a known maxim. Halachahi, biyadu, it is known that Esav hates Yaakov. So what exactly does that mean? It's a halacha. The halacha in this context, Rabbi Shimon is telling us that Esav hates Yaakov. So the Gaon Rabbi Menachem Zemba tells us as follows, that non-Jews, unfortunately, there's a lot of anti-Semitism, and we see it terribly, terribly in the world right now, coming up all over, very prominently in the United States. We have various prominent, decadent people making very terrible statements against Klal Yisrael. And it is indeed shocking, and it's if we have to, we do have to be introspective to see what did we do wrong, or are we doing things wrong, or the things where it can improve. And certainly, you always have to make an attempt to make a Kiddush Hashem, understand what's going on, and to try to improve how they view us. Now, having said that, even if we can do our best jobs, there is anti-Semitism. And that's what Rabbi Shimon is teaching us. It's a halacha. It's ingrained in society, dating all the way back from Esav, that there is anti-Semitism. And in fact, he says, if you look at the Metzius, look at the world, the claims they make against Klal Yisrael, they are oftentimes conflicting claims. In other words, he gives three examples. Number one, there may be, say, hatred of the Jews because they're capitalists. They control the economy, they control the finance, they own so much real estate. On the other hand, you go to another place, their claims against Jews, they're terrible because they're socialists. These are conflicting claims against us. They're looking for reasons to hate us. Is it because they're capitalists? Is it because of the socialists? Those are conflicting claims against us. Is that really the reason, the basis behind the hatred? Then there's sometimes they say the Jews, they work so hard, they work too hard, they're so smart, they have so much intelligence, we hate them for that. And on the other hand, there are times that they say that they are lazy, they don't participate, they don't contribute. So on the one hand, the claim is that there's reason, that they have alacrity. On the other hand, they're saying there are no benefits. Benefit to us. Which is it? Truth be told, it's neither of them. It's based on something, a motive before that, which is anti-Semitism. And these are simply claims against us. And number three, there are times that they'll say that they are too into their religion. They are too strict about their religion. We don't like it. And there are other times that they say that they're so assimilated, they're so secular, they don't like that, they want us to be less secular. These are obviously, again, conflicting claims against us. The basis here, as Rabbi Shimon is telling us, it's a halacha. It's a halacha. It's ingrained in them that it is known Esav hates Yaakov. And in fact, it's very interesting. If you look in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon is the one that Bechol Makam, in every place, he looks at Tama Dekra. He looks at the Pasuk and tries to understand the reasons behind the Pasukim. And he will try to use the reasons, in fact, for halachic ramifications. He just doesn't look at a Pasuk and understand it, but he tries to look at Tama Dekra, the reason behind it. And here, in our statement, Rabbi Shimon is telling us, despite the fact that typically I look at reasons for things, but when it comes to anti-Semitism, there is no basis for it. There is going to exist anti-Semitism. It's a halacha. You don't have to look at the reasons in the Talmud Akra, which I always do in other contexts and cases. In this situation, when it comes to anti-Semitism, on Rabbi Shimon, halacha hi, biyadu, it's known. Esav hates Yaakov. Obviously, we have to do the best thing to make a Kiddush Hashem, but anti-Semitism is something that has existed for generations, for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, and unfortunately, as well as we need to do, as good as we need to be, it unfortunately does exist. And as we see that it has existed quietly in a sleeper cell throughout the world, and now it's simply come out in spades, but it always existed. Something like this, it just doesn't come out if it didn't exist before. So it's been existing, it's just been under the covers, and now, unfortunately, it has come out. But still, let's try to make the best Kiddush Hashem we can in order to somewhat try to temper the anti-Semitism that is so virulent nowadays in society. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening.